Sister Catherine, President, staff, students, graduates, and family, there's a wonderful presence of the Lord here today. Just thank Him right now for His presence, because that's what it's all about. Lord, thank You. Stand up for just a moment. Lord, we glory. Lift up Your hands. Lord, You are here, and that's what is important. You are here to celebrate with us. You are here to touch. You're here to confirm. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for manifesting Christ in our midst. Otherwise, there's no purpose to this school or anyone who professes to proclaim Your name. So we give You honor, and we give You glory, and we give You praise. Amen. God bless you. My wife Gwen sends her congratulations and wish she could be here, and sends her love. Sister Catherine, I told you when the school was open, you would be a mother of Zion. And the kids would rise up all over the world where you send them and call you blessed. And that time has come. And we've seen Jesus in you. We've seen the glory of God. And there's confirmation here today. When Jesus comes, He says, it's because you're in the place of blessing. And He is here. Thank you, Jesus. I want to talk to you just from my heart for a little bit. I want to talk to you about the danger of a step in the right direction. The danger of a step in the right direction. Jesus, help me to unburden my heart. And Lord, speak to us plainly. Amen. I want to take you through a few instances in the scripture and show you the danger of a step in the right direction and what happens if there's no follow-up. I'm going to read to you from Genesis, the 19th chapter. Let me find it here. 19th chapter of Genesis. This is the story of Lot being delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels were taking him out. He said, we're going to destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, spake unto his sons-in-law, married his daughters, and said, up, get out. Let's go to verse 15. In the morning arose the angels, hastened Lot, saying, get out, take your daughters, come here, lest you be consumed. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon him. Now, you know the story I'm going to read. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for your life, don't look behind you, neither stay thou in all the plain. Get away from everything that has to do with Sodom, and lest thou be consumed. And Lot said, oh no, Lord, my Lord, behold now your servants found grace. Here's a man being delivered from Sodom, and he's found grace, the grace of God. In your sight, your grace has been magnified, your mercy that thou hast showed unto saving my life. I can't escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now, you see a little city over there? It's called, let me find it down here. I forgot the city. The name of the city was Zoar, meaning little. Here's a man who takes a step in the right direction. He's on his way to the perfect will of God and the place of blessing. You see, you can be delivered from Sodom. You can be delivered from a life of fear and disappointment and sin, and you can have a taste of the mercy of God, and it's so clear what God has done for this man. He's being delivered. He's a saved man. And he takes his first step, and he goes out, and the Lord says, go up there, get up on the mountain. And the first thought I want to give you is go where God tells you to go. Go where he tells you to go. The place of blessing was the mountain. Here's a man, though, without 1 ounce of faith. Here's a man being delivered. He's under grace and under mercy, and he has no faith at all, no dependence on the Lord. You would think a man under such grace would have the grace of mind and the thought that I'm being delivered by these angels. Surely there is something there. God has his hand on me. God is saving me. See, we've been delivered out of Sodom and we've tasted mercy and grace. But do you believe that when God tells you to go someplace and you obey that, I'm telling you that's the place of blessing. And I'll tell you what, there's some of these young people going various places. I don't know where all you're going for your internship. And some of those places are going to be hard. And I would say this kindly to parents. I say this, I have no notes on this, but something I've learned over the years. Never stand in the way of a young man or young woman on their way to a place of blessing where God has told them maybe go to China, go to the heart of Africa. I've seen the destruction when parents stand in the way and will not release their children, will not release them to some risky place, some dangerous place. You see, he said, Zohar, it's just a little thing. It's a little place. Let me say something before I go a step further, because I'm going to take you about two or three of these examples. Staff. I can almost imagine somebody on the staff that's saying, well, you know, I'm here at this school and I thank God for what he's done, but you see, there's a little itch in you. I don't know who, I might be talking to one or two, I don't know, maybe nobody, but I'm going to put up a barrier for you. I hope you're where God told you to be. I hope you're here right now at peace. If you're not at peace, if you're trusting God now, where you're at, you're not going to trust him anywhere. And God has put you here, and he has used you. And I say this with love, but don't look beyond where you are right now. And you're going to do some insignificant things, and you're going to do some things that may not be up to your high calling. It may not be up to what you believe is your anointing. But I'm telling you, when you make peace with where God has sent you, there's going to be blessing on the right hand and on the left hand, and God will keep you and bless you beyond anything you could know. I'm going to move on. Go where God tells you to go. Let me take you to Jacob. Jacob spent 20 years with Laban doing his own thing. He's not under authority, and he's in a place of deception, and God comes to him one day and said, Jacob, I want you to get up, and I want you to go back home. I want you to go to your kindred, and I want you to go back to Bethel. And Jacob, you see, the first man took a step in the right direction was Lot. It was the first step. Of course, you know, he went to Zoar, and the sulfuric fumes just moved in. You talk about that cloud that came out of Iceland. There was a cloud over Zoar. He was told not to go to the plain. And boy, when you disobey the voice of God, I hate to even read that chapter. You know of the horrible thing that happened because he was chased up to that mountain. God doesn't want to take you that route. It ended up in incest and horrible consequences. And now we come to Jacob, and he takes his first step. I'm talking about the danger of taking a step in the right direction. You see, you're graduating. That's just a step in the right direction. Where do you go from here? You go where he tells you and do exactly what he tells you to do. Do as he tells you. He gives direction. So Jacob gathers his clan and he heads toward Bethel. And it's a wonderful step in the right direction. He's told to go back. He's been in Syria with Laban for 20 years and living in disappointment and deceptions. And there's no, you see, he had made a deal with God and it was all materialism, but God wanted more than that. Because you see that yearning for recognition or for material things and, you know, well, I've got to provide for my family and all of that. Yes, that's good and basically true. But you see, if you want to go where the blessing is, if you want to go where the blessing is, you go all the way, no matter what the cost. He gets to the border of Canaan. He gets border. He goes all the way there, a step in the right direction. But here's the danger. He's tired. He's weary. He's got pressure from two wives. And all of their children and their clan and their sheep and their oxen and responsibilities beyond his mental stretching. And he gets to a little town called Shalem near Shechem. The Bible says, and he bought a piece of land and he built him a house and he built him an altar. You see, the direction was go to Bethel and build me an altar. That's the house of God. Bethel is the house of God. And God was really saying to him, Jacob, you spent 20 years living for your family, living for yourself. He said, now I want all of your heart. I want my vision. I want my heart. I want everything that I am to be a part of you. And I want to take full control of your life so you take directions from me from now on. You see the danger. Now hear me. The danger, you see, Shalem means safe place. Green grass, a nice home, good things. But you see, God wants to bless you. You can't get there unless you say, Jesus, no more games. No more hyping it. No more deception. I want all of you. I want to make you what I called you. And that's the wonderful thing about grace, that Jesus took our sins. He took your sins and mine and took them into death. And he said, there's only going to be one man now, that's Christ. And even if Lord told me one day while I was praying, walking, David said, God said, David, if I gave you a chance and you relived your life and you were given the ability, human ability to do everything right, make everything that was wrong right, all your foolishness gone, all your thoughts, everything, you still couldn't get into my holiness. No, you can't work your way there. And you will not be on Bethel ground until you are convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt, Romans 5 and Ephesians, that he took your sins. He took on the cross all your present sins, your past sins. Oh, you may sin before, I mean after you have seen the finished work of Jesus, that he went into the Father as your high priest and he presented his own blood. And God says, I see you as righteous and you can't stand before my holiness more than Isaiah could when he, after prophesying and revealing the heart of God in such a way, stands before the utter holiness of God. And he says, I'm finished. I'm done. In fact, in one translation, I'm doomed. But there was an altar there, and there was a touch on his lips from that wonderful sacrifice. And he was suddenly made in moral correspondence to the holiness of God. And God says to the angels, whom am I going to send? And Isaiah cries, me. Because he's in moral authority. Because he's no longer trembling in the presence of God, because he's looking. I think it's a picture of the cross when you look back and see what he's done, and you can't go, you can't stop at Shalem. You can't go there. No matter what it costs you, no matter what you feel. I have seen those that take the safe route. No, there's risk. There are tests. Oh boy, there are tests. But I know that I know where I stand in Christ. And some of you are on your way to Bethel. And don't take a shortcut, go all the way. Now let me take you to Numbers, the book of Numbers. And don't turn there. Just I don't even remember my chapter reference. I know the story well. Israel has been at Mount Sinai for a year. They've encamped there for a year. And it got a little cozy. They hadn't yet been in the wilderness. But the word came to move on. Now, into the wilderness. This is their first step. I'm talking about the danger of a first step in the right direction. The trumpets are sounding. They're getting in order, divine order. The troops, and then the tribes, and all their banners are waving. And what a sight. That when you line up a million or more people, you can imagine the miles. And that banner's waving, and Moses is exuberant. And they start out. Step in the right direction. Now, if you haven't heard anything I've said till now, hear this. Never murmur. Never complain. No matter what you go through. The danger. They're not out there but a short time. And it says, and they began, first those outside the camp, one translation calls it the rabble, those hanger-ons that just were hanging on, they were going through the motions. And scripture says, and they began to murmur, and they began to complain. And God was angry. God was angry. They're God's people. They've been saved. They have been through the Jordan. I mean, they've been saved from coming out of the Red Sea. And now that rabble, or those who were half-hearted and those who were not really walking according to the word of God, began to murmur and complain, and infected the whole camp. Fire began to fall. And it's staggering when you go through the Old Testament. I've been looking at all these places, and they're starting out, and God, they take that first step of obedience, and now when things get tough, start complaining, murmuring. Now, I'm not talking about, I'm going to close with that human reaction. When you're in such a battle, so many things coming at you, and you say, Lord, I don't know if I can handle this. I don't know if I can go through this. And the enemy comes with fears and lies and just pounds you. you better believe there are lords and principalities and powers out to devour you. And they begin to murmur and complain. And I don't like to read that chapter either of the consequences. And you, if you want to take the time, you go through the Old Testament and just see what happens on every account and every instance of murmuring and complaining. I'm saying go where God tells you to go, do what God tells you to do, and do it without a murmuring and no complaining. Oh, I'm learning. I'm learning. Not to say I've had enough. I'm murmuring to say, oh God, I don't know where I'm going to find the grace. I don't know where I'm going to find the strength, but you promised to be my strength. And if what else do we have to present to him but our faith? What can we give? And none of our works, none of our works. No. But to be able at the end of each day, Gwen and I just sit down and say, Lord, you did it again. You brought us through. He's going to bring you through. He wants to take you to a place of incredible blessing. That means that you're going to have to subordinate yourself. You're going to have to humble yourself. That means you're going to have to take things you could never thought you'd take before. You're going to have to be willing to scrub floors. You're going to have to do insignificant things. You're going to have to take these tests and trials, and it's going to get so hard. And God has to have people, not just in Romans 5 and Ephesians, and that's the strength. But there has to be this follow-up. There has to be this. When you walk out of this school today, you purpose in your heart. And folks, look at the consequence. Because when we sin, this Heavenly Father chastens. I know what it's like to be chastened severely, grievously. Because you see, God still loves me and I'm on the way to heaven, but I have had an infirmity, or I failed, or I've done something that's not right, or I murmured and I complained. You know, God is very merciful, but he chastens. And all through it, he chastens. There still is people, but they're being chastened. He didn't want to take you by way of the rod, but he wants to tell you, I have to have a vessel who is not murmuring and complaining, because I'm training you for a purpose, my purpose, not yours. So I know you've laid it down. I know you want to go all the way to the blessing, and he has blessed you. We're proud in the Lord of you. Very blessed to have had you here. And we tell people that we're training, and with this I close, we tell people when we talk about the school, we tell people that there are very difficult times coming, and our generation has been given over to drugs and alcohol, and we're looking for young people that lay down their lives, young people who will go and do the humble thing. And if I could just add this before I close. While you're reading Romans 5, don't forget prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is not meritorious, not even our prayers. But oh, they bring the blessing of God and the favor. And the voice of direction. Lord, this school is so in love with you. We're all who know you in love with you. But more than that, you delight in us. But we can't believe that. It's hard to understand. In spite of our failures, you cherish us because we're your body. And you love us, you love the head, Christ our head, and you can't love the head without loving the body. And you love us with the same love you love your own son. So we can go forth now with peace that passeth all understanding, because we know not just who we are, but we know we are reckoned to be what God said we are. Lord, we call it the new covenant, but Lord, it can't even be explained by covenant. It's so beyond our thinking. But Lord, help us and let us, forgive us for all murmuring and complaining, not about food, not about housing, not about anything. And Lord, to turn to you and bring us to Bethel. Thank you, Jesus. Look this way, if you will, please. I wish I could have been here more. The situation made it impossible. But my last word is stay on your knees. Stay on your knees. God bless you.